Well, it doesn't get much better than that, does it? You know, while these great anthems are going on and we sing the praise and worship music, those are times when you can just kind of begin to open your heart to what God wants to say and how He wants to be with you this morning. But those things, I sit back here and I listen to them. I get it from the backside. It's not bad from the backside either, by the way. But I just sit there and I find myself inwardly beginning to just praise and thank God for all the wonderful things that I've known and what I experienced in this church. But that's not my message. My message is going to be 45 minutes, and I can guarantee you it will not be 1 minute over that. Several years ago, my wife and I, as our custom was, we went to Myrtle Beach, 1985 to be precise. And we stayed at the Patricia, and in that place that we loved to go to, they tore it down, built a huge new Patricia. But I was walking across the parking lot in 1985 on my way back to the inn, and I noticed a panel truck on the parking lot there, and what attracted my eyes was the words on the side of that panel. I should say the van. And the words were Westside United Methodist Church, Nashville, Tennessee. Well, that caught my eye. But what really was a blessing to me, see, right underneath that, these words, a place for you. And I just had to stop and look at that. You know, Westside United Methodist Church, a place for you. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen, we're all looking for a place to be. A place where we can be at one with God and one with ourselves. We're looking for that place. And I got acquainted with the driver of that van. It happened to be, he was a 42-year-old Methodist minister, just graduated in May from Nashville Seminary. I got that right, didn't I? And so he shared with me his story. 42 years old, 3 children and his wife, they're all there. And his story is this. He spent his life trying to find his place. And he found his place. And when we find our place in the will of God, that's where love happens, that's where life happens. A little boy was moving out of the community, and he was talking to his grade school teacher. And she said, Jimmy, I understand that you're going to leave your home and go to a different place. And the little guy, he was startled, and he said, no, we're not leaving our home. We're going to take our home with us. We're going to a different place, but we're not leaving home. We're going to take it with us. Well, when we have God and we have love in a home, we take it with us wherever we go. My first sense of home was my mother's heart. And I knew that I was loved there. And that was my sense of home. Now, we live in a place. And everything happens in a place somewhere. And it's a little 4-room framed house. And if you look at that place, you would think, boy, that is the most insignificant thing you can imagine. But the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, that place became a home because that's where Mom was. And as long as she was around, I felt secure and at home. And you know, in a way, I've carried that sense of home all of my life. And when you bring together love in a place, that makes it a home. And when place and love come together, this is home. My son Mark went off to college, and in our family, we'd always arrange our children around the table, and they'd always go to that same place at mealtime and sit in the same place. My wife at one end and mine at the other end, and the children arranged themselves accordingly, without fail, same place. And so my son goes off to college. He comes home for the first time. And by that time, my daughter Robin had moved into Mark's place. And he would have none of that. And we had to reset those children in their old place so my son could come to that place that had become not just a place, but a home to him. And you know, that's what it's like where love is. It's never just a place. It's a place where things wonderful and beautiful happen. Vase and Grace Fitton are close friends of mine. And they lived in a beautiful home off of New London Road. And he began to say to his wife, it took me over a year, Grant, to get her to move into Berkeley. And she refused to leave her home. It was not just a place, it was a home. It took him a year and a half to talk her into, we've got to do this. And they did do it. But you know something? They took home with them. They've created a new home over at Berkeley. And I have to tell you what you already know, that I have always known that my place was with my wife, because that was where love was, and I've always felt at home with her. She is my home. And no matter what place we live in, whether it's a shack or something better, I'm at home because she is there. And that's how it is when we come to know the Lord and experience His love. We can go as pilgrims from place to place, but we take that home with us wherever we go, and wherever the Lord is and we're in His will, that in fact is home for us. Years ago, Ann and I decided in the 90s to go back to the church that we were married. We're going to celebrate our anniversary by going back to where we were married and back to where we spent the honeymoon. And so we get in our car and we go back to this little town now that's almost evaporated. All the industry has moved out. And we arrived and it was after dark, and we went to that place where the church used to be, and we stood there in the dark where we were married years and years ago. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen? It wasn't just a place. It was where we experienced the love of God and the love of a church fellowship. And you see, when that happens, places are not just places. Places are insignificant, but it happens to be where God can happen and where love happens. And so we took that, and we remembered, as we stood there in the dark, we remembered the pastor, we talked about our friends, and we talked about there was only standing room there that night. It was a sacred place for us. And then we retraced our steps, went around through the mountains down to this little coal mining community called Okeana, and tried to find the apartment where we spent our first days of marriage. Couldn't find it. And we felt disappointed because we couldn't find the place where our honeymoon occurred. Because that is where love was. And I remember one time when I left the coal mines and started working in the grocery business, I went to my mother and said, Can I come back home? You know, they say home is where they always have to take you back when you need to go there. Well, they don't, believe me, they don't have to do that. But more than likely, if you are loved, you're going to be able to. And she said, you can come back. So Ann and I, here we tricked back, no kids at that time, and we lived in a little one-room place that was called a wash house. And we built another addition to that. And we lived there some time. That's where our first son, Mark, was nursed. But you know something? If you had seen that place, we had people to visit us and walk away and said, you know, this is awful. But it wasn't just a place. It was where life happened. It was home. And when you get love and a place together, it is home. Well, Adam and Eve had a place, and it was a perfect place, and it was a home to them because God was there, and they communed with God, communed with each other, in perfect harmony with nature, and it was a beautiful place. It was the first home. But then the sin came, and they had to, God cast them out of the garden. And when God cast them out of the garden, He said to them, you're going to be fugitives, you're going to be vagabonds, you're going to be wanderers on the earth. They lost their place. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen, everyone, history is a story about people trying to get back to that place that's home to them. And God called Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to get out of this place. I'm going to give you another place. And that's going to be your home. That's going to be the home for my people, Israel. And so he left from place to place until he got to that place where God said, that's where I want you. And that became home to the Jewish people. That's their home place. That's where God happened. That's where the temple was built. It's not just a place. It is home to these people. In Psalms 90, the writer there says, O God, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. And another translation says, O God, you have been our home in all generations. And the good news is, of course, if God is our home, it doesn't make any difference where you go. You can even run off to the south to get a job, but it's still home if that's where God wants you at that time. And Jesus said to those disciples in the upper room, I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. A place. And he said to them, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. You see, as long as the Lord was there, that was home. And they could go to him everywhere they went. If he was there, he was home. But when he said, I'm going to go away, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans just to wander around on the earth because the Holy Spirit's going to come and be in you. And my Father and I, we will love you and we'll come to you. And what? We will build our home with you. And that's our place, ladies and gentlemen. A prodigal son knew he had to go back where? Back home. Because that's where love was. And life is a whole story of going back home. And I'm rushing through this conclusion now. Lafayette was the first church I ever pastored. And I didn't even know how to conduct a funeral. I didn't even know how to conduct a wedding. And we so happened to have a wonderful organist who taught me, this is where they stand, this is what you do, Grant. But I went there that Sunday, 30 years old, into that church, a small Methodist church, and started a college a few miles away. And I looked at those people that morning, farmers and teachers, about 40 people there. And I looked at them and stood behind that pulpit, and all of a sudden I had this wonderful sensation. Is that the Holy Spirit saying to me, Grant, you are now home. This is your place. This is your home. And you know, every church I've ever pastored, because that's where God wanted me, it has been my home. And it's your home. This is your spiritual home. It's not just a place. They are careful to point out that the church is not a place, but that's partially true. The church are the people, but ladies and gentlemen, we have to have a place. And it's gathered here in the name of God that this is not just a place, this is where God happens, this is where His presence is, and this is where we are blessed. A lady by the name of May, after I had visited her a number of times, and she was in a nursing home, and she was talking to me about her church that I pastored, and she said, you know, Grant, I used to sit right over there, and she named the pew, and I was there every Sunday with my husband, Don, and she said, oh, Pastor, who is sitting in my place? You see, it's not just a place. That's where she heard the voice of God. That's what makes it sacred and wonderful. That's our home. That's where we know we're loved and accepted and forgiven and affirmed. So Jesus said in the upper room there, I am going to prepare a place for you. And he said, that place is heaven. But he said, you know something, I'll come again and I'm going to take you that you can be with me in this place. And what makes it heaven, my friends, is because this Savior of ours, and you know, we talk about the streets of gold and how all of those descriptions of heaven and all that sort of thing, but heaven is, you know, if you're going to go there just for gold, you're going to be really disappointed. What difference does it make if you literally walk on gold? But what's going to make place heaven not just a place is the fact that our Lord will be there and the people that we love will be there that we've experienced in different places in our journey on earth. It will be a place where God is, and God continues to happen. Well, this reunion Ann and I went to a few weeks ago, six classes getting together and these people coming from everywhere, Texas and California and Michigan, Ohio, because you see, we were dispersed because of economic conditions and we went everywhere. But when we come together for that reunion, they come on crutches, they come in wheelchairs, they come with hearing aids, they come with replaced knees and hips and all of that sort of thing. But you see, they were at that place of our high school where we had good times together. And when we were bringing that whole reunion to a close, a good friend of mine who is a minister, he came to lead us in some songs. And he tried to pick out songs in the 40s and the 50s and 60s. And we did reasonably well with that. But when we got to Amazing Grace, it changed the whole mood of that meeting. That is a song of the gospel. God who saved a wretch like me. But at this occasion, and I love this verse, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. But grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. It's where God is. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence this morning. Help us to take from this place a new sense of wholeness, a new sense of direction, a new sense of new spiritual power. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. And amen. I have one more story to tell you. I was talking to Nancy Beckman yesterday, and I went down to look at this place where we keep clothing to disperse to those who need it. And she said, when I come into the church now and I see the remodeling, he said, it looks so good and so warm, it just feels like two big arms reaching around me to hug me. But ladies and gentlemen, that's the story of our church, not just the decorations. You're going to forget those things in time. I can't tell you what color the carpet was in that first church. But what you will remember is to walk into a place that's not just a place where you have a sense that the great arms of God are reaching around you and hugging you. Amen and amen. Let's stand and sing our concluding hymn this morning.